Guardians of the Geekery StormCon Special Edition
24A.
24A.
Woo!
Who do we have? It's only the two Musketeers out of the four Musketeers.
Yes.
Which would be an extra Musketeer.
Carol
but not
didn't
really,
want to hear so, our camp yeah. songs.
Carol the Cat's not here. Tenacious T's not here. So that leaves us with Joey the Giddy Geeker.
Woo!
Matt Starnes, Lord. And we've got all kind of guests. We've got Coleman.
Yes.
Richards. Right?
Yes.
Always Coleman remember Richards. That because Reed Richards with Fantastic Four. I'm good there. Keith.
Majo.
Yes, thank you.
That's why he wanted you to say your name.
Yes,
he didn't want to have to
insert
say
name here. Yeah. Barry? Or Princess Barry? So sorry.
Your name is Majo?
It is.
I've been calling you Majo the whole time.
It's okay.
Like 20 years.
You can just call me MODOK like the rest of the internet.
I called you Magoo.
It's okay.
Excellent.
I'm sorry. Say that again. I talked to
I'm Barry Lewis, one of the StormCon staff.
Also. No, Keith said I should address you as Princess Barry, though.
Yeah, sure. I feel like it.
Okay. You wear the tiara, so I think it's good timing. So.
It goes with the purple socks.
It does.
Yeah.
All right, but Coleman.
Yes.
You are here for because you're creating a game. So first, let's just talk a little bit about what StormCon is. Which one of you wants to take that lovely question? Tell us about StormCon. Is it a meteorological convention? Because I heard there's one that's matched like that.
No. We're not, nothing related to stormwater prevention and runoff like the other StormCon out there. We are a full-bodied gaming convention. We encompass board gaming, role-playing, some live-action role-playing, miniatures, both historical and fantasy. You name it. If it involves gaming, it's here.
Cool.
Awesome.
Anything to add, Barry?
Nope.
And how long have you guys been running it? This is your third year, right? Or fourth?
This is third year. This is the third official year. We've done Gathering in the Park, which was the mini storm cons, kind of.
Yeah, those were like
months.
Little like rainstorms before we got to the full fledged hurricane.
So it feels like we've been doing this longer.
So how'd you come up with the whole thing?
This is the third year.
I've been to all three. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
Do I get an award for that?
You do. I'm gonna go hand draw you an award.
Wow!
We actually have people walking around with all 3 year badges on.
I have them in my closet. But yeah. So the first year I sat behind a table and realized that nobody was talking to me because I was behind a table. But as soon as I started teaching people how to play Mexican train with dominoes, everybody was coming over and chatting with us. So it was pretty cool. And, you know, blending kittens in a blender. So
well, that's always fun.
Yes. Yeah. I always play the really hurtful games. But anyway.
So how did it start? How did StormCon start? I didn't hear the story, I guess. So.
Wow.
Wager gone sour, or what?
No. No, Barry and I, we sat at another kind of little local store event and said, you know, this is great, but there's more out there. We need to get more people involved and bring different groups together to network and play and build new friendships, you know, around gaming. And
we were doing StormCon. We were calling it non-con. Nice. And it was... You know, just a throw off that the Green Dragon was let us do, and it was the Green Dragon local gaming store, and we just kind of progressed from there, and eventually we dropped non-con and went to Gathering in the Park. After that, you know,
then you became a Gathering Storm, and now you're StormCon.
Yeah, became a storm.
That's right.
And this is not just like 10 people sitting around a table. You have quite a few people here this year.
I'm gonna gander a guess, our head count thus far is probably somewhere north of 300, it's only midday on Saturday.
Wow.
We've grown every year at like double-digit growth.
Yeah.
So
we're
doing
pretty
well.
Yeah. And Coleman, you are actually demoing a game that you've created here.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell us a little bit about your game and what was your inspiration.
Right, so the game is called Galactic Domination, and I've been working on it for quite a while, actually. I am a graduating senior.
Tell our listeners how old you are.
I'm 18 years of age, and I got the idea for the game. I was inspired. In eighth grade, my friend and I were in New York, and we were inside the Lego store in New York. And if you've ever been to the Lego
store in
New York, it's something else. They've got giant Lego dragons built. There's a giant Darth Vader. It's really cool. And we were in the Star Wars section, and there are these things called Star Wars battle groups, where they're just a collection of, like, four Lego pieces with some starships you can build, and we both got a battle group. And I wanted to make a set of rules so that we could actually play with the Legos seriously. And so I made some like statistics for each of the individual Lego pieces I made and some of the starships. And so that was really the inception of the game, and it's really progressed a lot since then. I focused on the game for my senior thesis at the Academic Magnet High School. Every student at the Academic Magnet High School has to complete a senior thesis project, which is a very in-depth study on an area that you're interested in, and I picked game design. And so during that two-year period, my junior and senior year, the game really took some major leaps. I created a board, I created four more factions, and each faction has its own set of 10 different units. And so before in eighth grade, it was just purely based on Star Wars, and now I've created really my own universe, and I think that's my favorite part of what I've done. And so I'm happy with where the game is right now. I think there's not too much more development that I could do for this first prototype. And so really what I'm looking for right now is finding support, people who are willing to help me take the game to the next step, and that is finding models, finding more artists who are willing to contribute different kinds of art to the game, and finding someone who would be willing to distribute the game. So
oh, cool.
That's where I am right now. Yeah.
And do you have a website for it?
I don't. That's actually another area I'm starting to look into. I've got a friend, actually, who's a computer programmer, and he does a little bit of website design. So,
but you have a paper version here this weekend?
I do. I have my own rule book typed out. I've got my board that I made, and some art that was done by James Hill, who's an artist who I met at StormCon last year. Really have done most of my networking here at StormCon, which has been an amazing opportunity.
That's awesome, yeah. And you are demoing a lot of Indiegogo, Kickstarter type of games here this weekend, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We're fortunate enough this year, the guys of Dreams and Magic Publishing did a Kickstarter last year. The PDF of their RPG released this past Wednesday. And they made it a point to come down from New York, specifically to come to StormCon, to demo their game to a Southern audience who may not have been exposed to the Kickstarter at the time. And when I walked away from the main gaming room, they had a full table plus extras. So they are just jamming out some demos this weekend before they have to scurry back to New York for other obligations. But I was really impressed that they wanted to come down and see what the Southern hospitality I kind of boasted about while I had some interactions with them during their Kickstarter, and I think that's a tribute to, I don't know, the power of StormCon, you know, the pun of the hurricanes here.
Yeah.
You know, that StormCon has such a presence that people, I mean, way out of our region want to come here, and specifically to meet with our gamers, those that come to StormCon. So,
and you really have a diversity of games. We're not talking about just RPGs or board games or card games or dice games. You've got all of them, and you've got a play-to-win feature that you're doing this weekend. And StormCon was the first place I'd ever seen that, but I was not a huge board gamer before StormCon, so I have to admit that's changed me. So,
Well, the play-to-win has actually taken a life of its own. We really tried to do a game library, and we did get game, but we got a decent library, but nobody really wanted to play them, and nothing was, so the library just kind of sat there that first year, and we came up, the idea was, the play to win is not a new idea, it's borrowed like everything else,
sure,
and it just kind of picked up last year, and it, you know, it runs itself. Which is kind of nice, actually.
For somebody who doesn't know what Play to Win is, explain a little bit about the concept and how you guys run it here at StormCon.
It's really easy. Of the 60-plus games that we have on offer this year, you literally take a game off the shelf that you and some of your newest, bestest friends want to try. You grab the game, you grab a slip of paper where you're going to write the name of the game on it, and the name of each player that plays the game. When you're done playing the game and enjoying yourself, you pack the game back up, bring it back to the shelving, turn in the slip of paper. At the end of the convention, every slip that's turned in for a particular game, we're going to randomly draw one slip out of a hat for that particular game, and then we're going to randomly roll and determine who the winner is on that slip of however many people are on that particular slip. The more times you play, the more times your name is on a slip, so the better your chances of a slip with your name being pulled, thereby increasing your chance to potentially take the game home with you. And that's the crux of the play to win. Literally, you play the game, you get the chance to win. If you win, you take the game home. It is yours to show off to your friends, to play it, to enjoy it.
Brilliant.
Nice. No, that's really cool.
This is my first StormCon, and I'm having a blast. And we just played Red Dragon Inn, and there were some people there from Tampa, and I think maybe somebody from D.C. or something. So, I mean, it was quite a, like you were talking about earlier, I mean, the draws. People love gaming, and, you know, this is fantastic so far. So.
Well, definitely Red Dragon Inn was a game I learned here.
Yay!
And then
Slugfest has been good to us.
Yes, so Slugfest is awesome. Yeah. And we got to demo, and now I demo for them, so I got to teach it to a few other people, which was a lot of fun. And then, but also things like The Village, we played that last year, and
that was very popular. That was Tasty Minstrel.
Yeah, and Small World and stuff like that. I have to say, I'm not the Settlers of Catan type of girl yet. That's not gone that far. And the D&D, I just don't think that it's meant for me to play, because every time I roll a character, the group that I'm in, once I have my character built and we're getting ready for our first actual live game,
right,
the group disintegrates. I literally had somebody get a promotion and move, the GM get a promotion and move out of the country the week before we were supposed to start on one. Another one, they were doing them on Sundays, and when we went to our first Sunday, her job changed, and all of a sudden she had to work Sundays. And I am just a curse. Every time I roll a character, I can't, that's too much investment for me. But I love seeing other people play it. I'm fascinated by it, but it's just, I don't think that's the one for me. So what was your first game that you played?
Probably Magic the Gathering. That was the first game, first popular game that I really got into. I played it with my brother. I started when I was like 10 years old, and we always played for fun. We never did any tournaments. We just played on our kitchen table. And I've been to a couple of Friday Night Magic tournaments at the Green Dragon, but I definitely enjoy just playing for fun more than playing competitively. So that was the first game I really played. And then my family really got into Settlers of Catan. We play it on every
thanks,
vacation.
Joey.
I know. Every so vacation awkward. we go on, we play it. And that's really been a family favorite for us. It's okay.
Joey's kryptonite. But yeah.
Well, I have to also confess that a lot of times the game nights that we have up in our area, I'm hosting. So
right. It's
a little more invested. Yeah. A lot of times I'm jumping out of a game, handing somebody my cards to get somebody else.
Well, that's what's so cool about gaming is every game is so specific, and you know, it has its own niche in the gaming world.
Yeah,
so.
I used to really be big into Flux, and my sister-in-law hated that game. She's like, I don't want to pass my cards to the right. I like my cards. I don't want to give them up.
I don't play games. Flux and Munchkin, anytime the rules change, I hate it. So if it says Flux, I leave it alone. no offense.
I'm offended.
Okay. Sorry, loonies, I don't like your game.
Every game has its place in the gaming community. Whether you like Catan or whether you don't like it, or you don't like the Fluxes and the Munchkins of the world.
Really, you just have to find the one that speaks to you, because there's definitely enough out there.
There are more games out there than anybody could possibly tackle in a lifetime. Trust me, I've tried.
And I think each game has its own following, too, so you can find like-minded people.
Yes, absolutely.
You can find those that are fascinated by Settlers of Catan. Yes. And they play, you know, these big hybrid games with the expansions, and then I get lured into them and call it the Torture of Catan. Just say.
I like the hybrid games. Like, we played Telestrations Against Humanity last night.
That seemed to be a fairly rowdy game. When I was leaving, people were going, what the hell are they doing back there? I was like, I don't know. I'm going home.
Yes, it's not safe for work or for children under 18.
No.
Please don't come play it, Coleman. I don't want to have to explain
he's
18. It to your mother.
He's 18, but still,
I don't want to have to explain to your mother why you played that game when you could have been playing Settlers of Catan. So what's your game of choice, Keith?
Pick a genre. I mean, I like a little of everything. I'm a role player at heart. I read a lot. I don't get to play as much as I read role-playing products, but board games is definitely not Catan, as I referenced earlier, the Torch of Catan. But I do like historical war games. I'm a history major, so that's... When it comes to board games, I like that. But when it comes to more family-approachable games, you know, the middle-of-the-road stuff, anything that has a historical theme or just unique mechanics really appeal to me. So it really could be anything.
And you have a blog as well.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, Rolling Boxcars. It is my official entry into the gaming community outside of being a con promoter and other things. It's my way to contribute back. I read a lot of RPG products, board games, play them, demo them, with especially with my role-playing games that I do. Before I write reviews, a lot of times I try to play them. I play with an international group of gamers. I've got gaming connections all over the world. We have a Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern time, and we play to 11 o'clock almost every Sunday. I'm in some game or another. But Rolling Boxcars is my way of finding new and unique products, reading the rules, testing them out, and then just being blunt honest. I like it, I don't like it. This is what I like. Here's your pros, here's the cons, in my opinion. Here's my parting shots. And it's no holds barred. I mean, my slogan is coming at you, gaming coming at you like a freight train. So I'm not going to pull punches. And I think the followers of my blog appreciate that. They want to know from somebody that's tried it, especially even if it's an RPG, have just read it, and finds that it's really great and inspirational or really bad. They want to know that before they invest their own money.
Might be a good way to promote galactic domination if it
we need to
ever
talk.
Comes to that.
We need to talk.
I like the way he thinks.
He's a marketeer. But
truly, I think that one of the things that's so necessary about gaming is having events like StormCon or these demo days at game stores, because you are talking about not a small investment for some of these games. Yeah. I mean, you could... Some of these games are awesome, but they could be up to $50, and other games
more than that, yeah.
$50 even to start, and then, you know, I mean, some games are cheap. Let's, you know, $10 can get you in, and you're walking
sure.
away. But a lot of games nowadays are just a lot more pricey, and so you want to know. That's why I love the Play to Win, because I went and played a bunch of games, and even though I didn't win them, curses, I was able to go and buy them, and was confident enough to be able to explain the game to somebody else, because sometimes I'm not always a good role reader.
Right.
But also to know that it was a game that I wanted to have, and I think that that definitely opens it up, and I think that's why so many of the game companies are understanding that that's a legitimate way to advertise, is to let people play.
I think that we've had game companies tell us specifically, you cannot put this game in your library, it must be a play-to-win type program. They want people exposed to it. Purposely, just the more people exposed to it, the better. And they're very proactive in that regard. It's, I mean, that's why we got 60-plus games this year. We've had one company that was an early adopter of our first year of the Play to Win, Stonemaier Games, with their Viticulture release that did famously well on Kickstarter. They specifically said, we like this Play to Win idea. We've never heard of this. And after the success, and we reported numbers back to them, they were on board for the second year. And
now they're here for a third.
Now they're here for a third. And in this process, Jamie, one of the principal owners of the company, he's got his own blog, Cut Through the Company. And he, about a year or so ago, really went on a blog tangent about Play to Win is the absolute best thing that could have happened to the
game
industry.
It's a win-win for everybody.
It is. Well, max visibility. Somebody gets to take it home, and that visibility continues.
Yeah. And there are some companies, though, that don't like Play to Win.
There are.
There's a few companies that we have dealt with, and they're good companies, but they don't want to do it. And I'll just come out and say it's Rio Grande. Rio Grande says, we'll send you games, but they're not Play to Win. They're demo. They're library. So we have to keep them.
Huh. Which, well, that has its own merit, too.
It has its own merit, but, you know, when it's given to us as a demo or a library, it sits after the convention's over, and nobody sees it.
Right.
So
right.
There you go. So
if you were, like, a an event that was a monthly event, that would be a different story.
Yeah.
But you're not, and if you're explaining that to people.
And we can only take so many games from the game library between StormCons each year to public game days and to game clubs and to stores. You can only take so much with you and continue the exposure. I think a game, a play-to-win game, the same game sitting in both a library at the same convention and then one year and then in a play-to-win the next year, you'll get 20 times the visibility or more through the play-to-win version of the game the following year versus what you would get as a library game the previous year.
Well, I mean, I do marketing in my alter ego here, and it's like our whole thing is, I mean, you want to turn people into evangelists, basically, for your game or your brand. And it's like, that's the perfect, like you're saying, if it sits on a shelf, that's not going to happen. But if I win something, oh, I'm going to play it every time I have, I'm going to pull this out. Look what I won! And, you know, I go crazy with
it. You keep it in their face. You keep your product, whether it's StormCon or whether it's a board game or a role-playing book, you keep it current and relevant in people's minds, and they want to hear more about it. They want to see it. They want to play it. They want to experience it. And that goes a long way with, you know, you developing your own game.
Exactly.
And moving it forward to the next stages is got to get people exposed to it. You got to build that fan base.
Absolutely.
Do that, Coleman.
All right.
Well, I don't know. You're getting into this at such an old age. I don't know. We'd like to see if you have a career here, but I'm excited.
I don't know. The ripe old age of 18 is tough to
break in, isn't it?
Yeah, to break in and stay in the gaming industry.
So are you going? You graduated this year. Where are you going to school?
I'm going to Davidson in North Carolina.
Awesome.
You're right up the road from us. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to look up the Charlotte Geeks when you get up there.
Okay.
So,
I will.
Yeah, come
there's
hang
a
new
gaming community to.
Well, and you can come demo your game. Because we have game nights once
great.
A month.
Because one thing I've thought about a lot recently is I'm leaving Charleston. And Charleston is where I've made a lot of my friends in the gaming community. Barry, obviously. And it's where StormCon is, which is where I make a lot of connections. And so I'm going to be in a totally new environment. And I'm not going to know anyone there. So it would be great to come to your
We can plug you in directly with the game nights and then also all the local game stores around. We're
right,
actually,
that'd be great.
Charlotte has a lot of
and
different
then
game stores.
People in two different locations would know what Galactic Domination is. Charleston and Charlotte.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And in North Carolina, they do have some really good game designers that we can touch base with you for. Doug Bass is up there. Actually, Duncan Davis is here, and he's from North Carolina. He's in the city game that he's doing. So he's from North Carolina, so he can help you out, too.
See, we can all help out together.
Look
awesome.
What happens in an interview. Absolute networking. It's amazing.
It is.
Well, you know, and I think that's one thing about the geek community is the fact that it's not... I know we were talking about it before that we started podcasting, but the fact that you really can connect people from one type of fandom or genre will connect to another and one will be a gateway to the other. So even though I'm not to the Settlers of Catan point yet, you can definitely get to the other points of I'll get there.
We'll get you there.
That's right.
Just like you might get me more into geekery stuff, see?
Oh yeah.
It might happen.
Well, you know, I always tell people it's like if you can get into one game then you can kind of get into the rest. And Charlotte Geeks has been, for us, the kind of the gateway drug for other things, is we've had people that are like, I'm really not a geek, but I love going to some of the movies that you're going to, so they'll come and join us for that, and then they're like, oh, game night sounds fun, so then they come to game night, and they're like, oh, Geek Gala sounds cool, so then they come to the Geek Gala, and it's like, oh, you're going to do a painting event? Okay, we'll go to that.
Then I go, all too easy.
Yes. And then they go to Con Carolinas or Dragon Con or Storm Con, and then they're hooked, and that's just it. That's just the way it is, so... So, final thoughts. We're kind of at that 20...
Game's good.
Game's good. Oh, that's your god character from Red
Dragon.
Yeah.
Stolen character.
So, tell us again where we can find Rolling Box Cars.
Real easy, rollingboxcars.com. It takes you right to the homepage, and you can see all my reviews, rants, loves, hates, everything. It's all there for the
and
public
to
see.
And you're going to have a... article about Galactic Domination so they can find Coleman since he doesn't have a website.
I think we can arrange that pretty easily this coming
great.
Week.
Thank you.
And
great.
Barry, where can we find you? At the local homeless shelter?
Yes.
Bring his tiara.
I will be. I'll be at the homeless shelter trying to learn to read and write.
Bring soup.
Any websites or anything you want to promote?
No, I don't blog because I can't really. I can barely read and barely write. So.
And your website for next year's StormCon is?
Is Storm-Con. Stormcon.com.
Yeah, make sure you put the dash in there or you will end up with the Stormwater situation.
Yeah, you don't want to do the whole Stormwater thing.
And actually,
it's fun.
And actually, we found another convention that uses Stormcon. But I won't get into it right now.
You want to come to the one in Charleston.
Charleston. The gaming one.
And yes. We will put a link on Facebook, even though I'm anti-link, so... But we will put a link on there for you.
But we appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're anti-Link. You don't like Zelda?
Wow. He spun the geekery back on you.
Oh, so see, you are a gateway into other geekeries. Well, it's still a game, I guess. All right. That's wrapping it up.
Thank you, everybody. StormCon special edition.
24A. Woo!